Space. Some regions are vast and empty, other areas we call closets. Fortunately, Kevin from the Container Store has answers.
Right.
Kevin, what gives you the power over space?
I'd say Elfa customizable closets. With free design and Elfa's adjustable shelving and drawers, I can create space in any size closet.
Kevin, master of space and closets.
Or just Kevin. Plus, right now, save 30% on Elfa and installation and earn up to $500 in credit through February 10th.
At the Container Store, where space comes from.
Wait, where is that music coming from?
How is everybody doing? Tonight we have Brandy Wong. I hope I'm saying her name right. I am so excited about this show, you guys, because Brandy, if you follow her anywhere on social media, you know her work is very, very important, especially if you have children, if you're ever thinking about having children, if you're a human, if you go to the doctor, if you're sick, if any time that you have to deal with vaccines, this is the one person that you want to talk to and you want to get the lowdown because she knows what's going on. She used to be a sales executive for Merck. And while she was working with this company, she saw many things that a lot of times people don't talk about. And she came out and whistleblow on some of the things that are really important for the society to find out, things that are hidden, things that are not made in plain view. And I think it's important for all of us to understand the implications of vaccines if you're going to ever go to the doctor and have something injected into your body. Let's bring her right back in. I'm so glad everything is working fine. I hope you guys can hear us out there. If you have any issues or any problems, guys, go ahead and let me know there on Facebook. You guys know how to get a hold of me. Good evening, Brandy. How are you doing? And thank you so much for coming to the show. Welcome to Cubanorama. How are you doing this evening?
Yes, I'm great. Thank you for having me on. It's such an important topic to discuss, especially right now with all of the media craze.
Absolutely. So tell me about yourself. I follow you, and I'm always, Brandy, I'm in awe with the work that you do for a woman to take on this corporation and, you know, this powerful industry. Sometimes these people can ruin your life, and you're not afraid. Tell me what makes it. What gives you the strength and the power to go out there every day and do what you do?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you work for one of the largest companies in the world, definitely the largest and most powerful industry, and they don't like it when you speak out against them, especially when you're a former employee. And it's been quite a wild ride, but I keep going because literally the work I do saves lives, and people really have no idea of the corruption that's going on in the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, doctors' offices, with vaccines, with pharmaceutical drugs. So much is not public information, and so much needs to be exposed so that people can actually heal their health, right? So one of the things that I speak about most that people don't really understand is the pharmaceutical industry doesn't make money if you're healthy. So I always like to pause and people to think about that for a bit, because literally all pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines included, because they're a pharmaceutical product, they normally do far more damage to your health than they have benefits. And for 99.9% of things, especially chronic illnesses, taking, you know, minus crisis care, right, your arms are falling off from a car accident, whatever, 99.9% of things can be helped and healed and taken care of naturally, and there's no money really in that, especially for pharmaceutical companies, but there's a lot of money in keeping you on these magic pills of theirs and giving you vaccines. So again, the pharmaceutical industry does not become the largest industry in the world by keeping people healthy, right? They only make money when you're sick. And this is not only for the pharmaceutical industry, but it's for the medical system as a whole, right? All of the testing that they do, all of the specialist appointments, all the appointments, all of the insurance things that they bill, you may not see the money that is being made, but mm-hmm. it is a massive industry. And again, people that are healthy don't feed into that system, and it's a profit-based system. So this was one of the most interesting things and mind-blowing things for me to see from the inside, not only with the pharmaceutical industry that I worked in, but calling on doctors, going into hospitals, going into medical testing areas, and seeing that really it's just this cycle of sickness. And if they can keep you in this cycle of sickness, usually through drugs and procedures and devices and things like this, and vaccines, of course, then they keep you as a customer for life, and that is how they grow their business, right? Because they have shareholders that they're beholden to. They need to increase profits every year. Increase profits every year. And again, they don't do this if you're healthy. So what I do and how I get the strength to do this, because it is definitely not easy. It's been quite a wild ride, and my life looks very, very different from now than it did before I started speaking out. It's mm-hmm. because it's saving lives, and the stories I hear and the messages I receive, you know, thanking me, and heaven forbid these people, you know, people are suffering, families are suffering. Maybe they lost a baby to so-called SIDS, which is not actually a cause of death, but a label, and it was within hours of vaccines, or, you know, a wow. senior who got the flu shot and became paralyzed, and the doctors are calling her crazy, right? You know, all of these things, you know, giving people an outlet and giving people hope that there can be healing outside of the system, which doesn't believe that they're injured, and mm-hmm. B, showing them what's keeping them sick, and seeing these stories come in via email and messages and all over social media, it inspires me to keep going, because I know without giving people that kind of information, they will stay on this cycle of sickness, and they won't really right. have health. And health is so important. It's, you know, if we don't have our health, we can't work, we can't pay our bills, we, you know, possibly can become homeless, you know, we could lose our family, our children, you know, death is involved. There are some serious side effects to some of the drugs and vaccines that are out there that people aren't really hearing about. And, you know, it's saving lives and saving the health of people. And basically with our children being so highly vaccinated, this going to lose a generation of children to chronic illness. And, oh, you know, yes. experts agree. They say that they're going to die sooner. This generation of children is going to die sooner than their parents, which is the first time ever because of how many drugs and vaccines are given to children. So,
you
I
know,
mean, it saves lives. I can keep the strength.
It's funny. I'm sorry. It's funny that you say that. I have a teenager who has been pointing out to me kids, 5 years older than her, and she says to me, Mom, have you noticed how kids are aging at a faster rate today more than ever? She says, I look at people who were in their 30s before, and they didn't look so old, and now she's looking at kids that are 25, 26 years old, and a lot of them look, and they have terrible health issues, and it makes us wonder why, especially living in the United States, one of the richest countries in the world, where you can have access to food, as we mentioned, medical services. Why is it that these vaccines, instead of helping, are hurting so much? Why is it that they don't make a better methods of healing people? There's no money,
well,
I suppose.
Yeah, there's no money in it. And so basically, like I said, the pharmaceutical industry has shareholders to please, and they have to increase their profits year on year. And the pharmaceutical mm-hmm. Drug industry, because patents expire within 10 years and it's expensive, the trials that they go through for pharmaceutical drugs, it's expensive and it's quite a large investment to get pharmaceutical drugs on the market. But vaccines, because they're not classified by the FDA as pharmaceutical drugs, they're classified as biological products, they go through far less testing before they're put on the market, which is crazy because anything that's injected into your body is far more potent, it's far more dangerous than anything you eat because, you know, we have a detox pathway in our body. So everything you eat and drink goes through that system. It's, you know, through the esophagus, through the stomach acid, through our intestines, kidneys, liver. And if you inject something, it bypasses this entire pathway. So while biological products and vaccines are far more dangerous, they're far less regulated by the FDA. And there's no patent expiration. So it's a much better investment to create a vaccine and put toxic chemicals into it than it is pharmaceutical drugs. So while people say that, you know, in the pharmaceutical industry and the media, which is kind of basically spokespeople for the pharmaceutical industry at this point, they love to say there's no money in vaccines. And if you look at the investment articles out there, Forbes and Business Insider and things like this, you will see that vaccines are far more profitable than pharmaceutical drugs. But nobody wants you to know that because vaccines are basically the backbone of the entire industry. Because how do they create customers, especially of children, for all of these pharmaceutical drugs that they make money off as well? They do it through vaccines. Because if you can inject toxins, bypassing this system, vaccines are the only way you can do that, really. And if you can inject toxins, known toxins, right? There are known neurotoxins, known chemicals that cause cancer and brain damage and gut issues in these vaccines, they can get that past our detox pathway, and they can make money not only on the vaccine, but they can create chronic health issues that then create customers of children. And notoriously in the U.S., basically a lot of people over 40, I believe the numbers are 7 out of 10, are on some chronic daily medication, yet children were this market that was untapped by, you know, drugs. This was 20 years ago, by, you know, drugs and things like this. So where did they have to grow their market? They had to expand their market, increase shares for shareholder profit every year, and so they started going after children. And in that aspect, in 1986, the President Reagan helped them along by signing a law that created a no-liability environment for vaccines. So basically, when these vaccines cause a chronic health issue, asthma, type 1 diabetes, seizures, death, paralysis, vaccine makers cannot be sued. So we live in a capitalist society where the way that people can keep tabs on corporations is through lawsuits, right? So if there's a drug, or, you know, someone's poisoning a water system, the way that the people can fight back against the corporation is through lawsuits. So if you cannot sue for any injuries and deaths with vaccines, A, it doesn't make the media, and B, the vaccine makers have no incentive to make safer products. And the FDA will not pull off vaccines and products that are causing harm. So because of this, you know, the profits in vaccines and the, you know, and then the fact that they create future customers, vaccines were just a wealth for pharmaceutical companies. So in the last, let's see, it's been 30 years since the law passed, almost 30 years. The number of vaccines has tripled for children, and as well as at the addition of many vaccines for adults. So we're seeing our children being given 72 vaccines by the time they're 18. And when I was a child in the 80s, I was getting maybe 8 or 10, and they did affect me, and I had a bad reaction to a vaccine at age 25. But far, far less vaccines than they're giving now. So it's really, and this is why we're seeing such massive numbers of sick children. And when I say sick, it is acute illnesses like ear infections, mono, strep, this type of thing. But it's more the chronic illnesses as well. In fact, there was a study done that shows almost half of all U.S. children are now have a chronic illness. So allergies, food allergies, asthma, psoriasis, asthma, type 1 diabetes, epilepsy. 1 in 20 children now have epilepsy. I mean, that's crazy. When I was a child, not one child in school had epilepsy or cancer. or, you know, asthma. And now we're looking at EpiPens in every classroom. We're looking at 1 in 20 have a seizure disorder like epilepsy. Asthma is 1 in 12. Food allergies and is 1 in 10. I mean, it's just incredible, right? And then we, you know, there's the ADHD,
yes,
type 1
yes.
diabetes, yes. cancer, all of these rare diseases that were once rare are now becoming almost commonplace. And a lot of these other issues that we only saw in older people once, you know, your body's been
right.
subjected to this over a lot of years, like arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, these type of things now have juvenile onset designations. So now there's juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile arthritis, juvenile MS, you know, juvenile lupus, these things that never happened before. It's mind-blowing how common it is now for children to have some kind of chronic illness. And you're not seeing that in other countries where they have a far lighter vaccine schedule and they get far less vaccines, especially no vaccines in pregnancy, which, you know, is just incredible that they're doing that because, you know, you should – before it was no drugs at all, no vaccines, no drugs in pregnancy – and now they're not only allowing multiple drugs to be taken during pregnancy, but they're also giving multiple vaccines. And
right. I was looking at some of your posts on that. Can you tell me what sort of vaccines are they giving pregnant women now? What is it that they're looking to fix? That because before there was no issues. There were women who were pregnant were not getting vaccines. What sort of problems are doctors saying that they're seeing that we need to vaccinate pregnant women now? Do we know?
So the flu shot is one that they're giving pregnant women, and they're saying that, oh, if you get the flu in pregnancy, it will be worse for the fetus. That flu shot is way worse. A flu shot has proven not to reduce flu. In fact,
right.
if you get a flu shot, it increases your chances of getting pneumonia and other upper respiratory issues, and also a whole load of health issues, including sepsis and multiple organ failure and death. But
wow.
it also hardly works because the flu virus mutates so often that they can never pick. You know, there's hundreds of different flu viruses, and what one person is getting and, you know, has symptoms of and what another person is getting, it's all over the place. So
right.
it even mutates when you catch it, when it gets inside the body. So there's no real way to create a vaccine for it. This is why it has to be different every year. But it's still such a myth, and it rarely has any efficacy. But it is guaranteed that those toxins in that flu shot are going to pass through the placenta and affect that fetus in its most vulnerable time. So they're also
right.
giving DTaP, which is the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, TDAP is what they call it for adults, vaccine.
Wow.
And again, this is another vaccine, which it's actually three vaccines in one. So you're getting four vaccines in pregnancy now, and they're talking
oh
about
my
adding
God.
A few other ones to the schedule. So these are four different amounts of toxins that are going into the baby, again, without passing through the mother's normal detox processes. So what really shocks me is, you know, doctors will say things like, oh, don't eat raw cheese, don't eat sushi, don't eat because of the possible mercury, yet then the flu shot has mercury in it that they're giving to the pregnant women. So it
wow.
makes absolutely no sense. Other than the fact that vaccines seem to have this kind of sacred status in the pharmaceutical industry and in the medical system, and after seeing things going down from the inside and seeing all of it, I really believe it's because vaccines are the way that they actually create customers for all of the pharmaceutical drugs. So they're almost
oh.
sacred. And when you look at it, it's funny because the media sometimes will vilify the pharmaceutical industry for things like the opiate crisis and paying doctors to write painkiller prescriptions. And yet, and people, the public on social media, oh, yeah, the pharmaceutical industry, it's only out for money. And then when you talk about vaccines, they say, oh, no, the vaccines are great. They save lives. You know, you're crazy for saying anything bad about them. Vaccine makers would never do anything wrong. And they're talking about the same industry that is clearly profiting off keeping them sick in so many different ways. And vaccines
mm-hmm.
are not, you know, magic fairy dust in the needle. they are, you know, they are, you know, patented pharmaceutical products that are, you know, have toxins in them, just like pharmaceutical drugs do. So, you know, some of these ingredients that, you know, doctors will never tell you are in the vaccine is, you know, it has to have a preservative so that it can be shipped from the vaccine production facility to the doctor's office. So it has preservatives in there, which are all chemical, synthetic chemical, lab-based, lab-created toxins. And, you know, if you go on the website that I house all of my research on, it's called learntherisk.org, so learntherisk.org, you will see a lot of these studies showing the toxicity in animals and some in humans as well of some of these ingredients, like polysorbate 80, like MSG, right? And that, again, they say don't eat Chinese food because there's MSG in it, but then MSG is one of the main stabilizers in a lot of the vaccines that they're even giving to pregnant women. Formaldehyde, another one. Formaldehyde,
yes.
In wood floors, formaldehyde, you know, I believe it was Aldi supermarkets decided to take all the formaldehyde-containing products off of their shelves because of the dangers, because it's a known carcinogen. And it's a known carcinogen in every amount. And yet the doctors won't tell you that there's formaldehyde in vaccines. And when you inject, it's a tiny dose, but it's a synthetic dose, and it comes through injection, which is far more dangerous than when you even eat it in, you know, food products. And it's actually banned in food products, but it is in body care products, like some nail polishes and body products.
Yes.
So,
as a matter of fact.
Hold on real quick. I just want to. We have skyrocketing childhood cancer rates. So formaldehyde is known to cause cancer.
Yes.
It's in many of the vaccines we give children. What is skyrocketing now? Cancer used to be a disease of older people when I was younger. Nobody
correct.
Under, you know, 30 had cancer. I mean, more like under 50, right? And now
right.
it is skyrocketing. And could it be the formaldehyde in vaccines? They will never admit it, but it very well could be, because cancer is a disease of toxicity. It means that your
right.
body has been exposed to too many toxins. You cannot filter all of them out. So the body creates, you know, cancer tumors to isolate some of the toxins in your body. And so we're seeing skyrocketing cancer rates, and yet we're seeing all of this science, real, independent, hundreds of studies showing the toxicity and carcinogen, you know, the cancer-causing effects of formaldehyde, yet nobody will admit it. Everybody will deny it because there's so much profit in vaccines. So aluminum is another one which is known to cause cancer. It's also a known neurotoxin, right? So a lot of people have heard about the link between breast cancer and aluminum-containing antiperspirants and
uh-huh.
urine.
Right.
But no, apparently if it's in a vaccine, it's absolutely safe to inject into your child. So we see a ton of
wow.
neurological damage happening, particularly the epilepsy that I was speaking of, tics, developmental delays, speech delays, autism, which is just a behavioral diagnosis of brain damage. We're seeing encephalitis, which is brain swelling and inflammation. We're seeing all of these neurological issues, and also depression and anxiety. Yale University did a study linking vaccines to particularly the flu shot and the HPV shot to onset of OCD, anxiety disorders, and anorexia. So the way that these toxins are interacting in the brain, you know, ADHD as well, all of these things that sell pharmaceutical drugs are linked in independent science studies to vaccines. So there's over 1,000 studies linking vaccines to a lot of these common health issues, ones that we've mentioned, yet the media won't report on it because pharmaceutical
mm-hmm.
Industry is one of their largest advertisers. The CDC takes millions in pharmaceutical money. The FDA has a revolving door between the agency and the pharmaceutical industry. You know, often FDA directors and things like that are consultants or ex-consultants for the pharmaceutical industry. It's a revolving door. The pharmaceutical industry is the largest lobby on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. So, you know, people have really no idea how powerful
yeah.
these things you know, the industry is and how good they are at hiding the information that parents and people need to know, and not just parents, right? Because, of course, we're seeing, you know, half of all children sick when they don't need to be, and, you know, with limited lifespan, life, you know, destroying illnesses sometimes. But we're also, you know, it's also the adults. We're seeing strokes happening within hours and days of pneumonia shots, within flu shots, the double dose that they're giving seniors. And also, you know, the flu shot is one of the number one killers of healthy adults in the U.S. So, you know, it's not just parents, of course, but parents really need this information because it's, you know, our job as parents to protect our children, but also the public at large. All of this information and these studies and the ingredients and the link to the studies showing the toxicity of the ingredients, you know, anyone who speaks about this, even though we all need to have this information, we should all have this kind of information when we're making a decision about a medical treatment. You know, but anyone who speaks about it is called crazy because they don't want you to question vaccines because this is how they create their customer base. So, you know, it's shocking the information that's out there and what really needs to be exposed, and more people are waking up to these dangers, and especially because more and more people are seeing the effects firsthand, unfortunately, with their children, with family members, with their parents that all of a sudden get a flu shot and they're in the hospital 12 hours later with a stroke. You know, more and more people are beginning to connect the dots because there are more and more vaccines now. So that's why it's become even more and more vilified for anyone to actually speak out about this, but the science is there, and people need to really see what's happening behind the scenes and not just what they're told by the pharmaceutical industry, by front group, by the media, which is basically a spokesperson element for the pharmaceutical industry at this point. So, yeah, there's just so much out there. And again, like I said, the nonprofit that I run, I post all of my research, and we have over 1,000 studies on there showing the different diseases and the links to vaccines on there. So it's learntherisk.org. It's such a great wealth of information for people.
It is. And, you know, as you mentioned, it is sad when people listen to you, and as I hope that listeners are taking all of this in, because you may not have been affected personally in any of these issues, but I guarantee you, if you start asking around and if you talk to your friends, you are bound to find tons of information. Somebody knows somebody. Brandy, I worked in the school system, and I volunteer in my community and do a lot out in the community. I have met so many people, so many elderly that are ill, sick with dementia. The diseases are horrible. And I don't remember when I was a little girl, older people were the voice of wisdom. They were clear-minded all the way up to their 90s, mm-hmm. and they were the people that we listen to the stories. Why are elderly people today looking like they're zombies more than, grandma and grandpa? People just seem to check out mentally and physically. We're not seeing them involved in society, or even with their families. What's going on with the elderly?
Well, so we're also seeing skyrocketing cancer rates. So basically, exactly what I was talking about with the children, the aluminum and the formaldehyde, as well as other things like the polysorbate 80, which allows these chemicals to get through the brain, the blood-brain barrier, which normally protects the brain from these synthetic chemicals, they cause, you know, all of these issues, and the science is there. And in fact, I just posted on Facebook a video from one of the world's leading experts on aluminum and the damage it can cause the brain. So when the vaccines are injected into children, it's usually the brain damage is called something like Asperger's or autism, or it will cause epilepsy, these kind of neurological damage. But when it's the elderly that are getting the flu shots and the pneumonia shots and all of these other shots that their doctors are pushing on them, it's going to, what's going to happen is the damage is going to be called Alzheimer's, or dementia. And we're also seeing, again, skyrocketing rates of cancer. Cancer is not a given, and it's not a death sentence. But now it's almost like everyone over 60 is going to get cancer. And so, again, formaldehyde, the known to cause cancer in animals and humans, and it's in vaccines. So seniors and children are usually the ones that end up at the doctors mostly, which children, because there's this huge push to have them seen annually, to have them seen when they're very young, every 2 months. This is new too, right? And a lot of these visits are based around vaccines. But then the elderly as well. Oh, you know, we need all these tests. You have to come back in 3 months. You have to come back in 6 months. And it's just another opportunity for more tests, more drugs, and more vaccines. And so these are the two, you know, populations that are, you know, we're seeing the most effects. But we're also seeing it in, as particularly with the flu shot, in other, you know, in younger and middle life ages, right? I mean, there are numerous stories of deaths and paralysis after the flu shot from 18 to 60, and so we are seeing it then as well. But of that age range, we take less vaccines, right? So the seniors there, and it doesn't have to be that way, because I have lived in multiple countries in the world, and particularly in Europe, where vaccines are not pushed like they are in the U.S. And we have older people. We have healthier. The children are far healthier. They don't have autistic children. They don't have epilepsy, in every classroom. They don't have food allergies. In fact, when I first moved to Holland back in 2004, I had seasonal allergies, and I went to get a prescription at a doctor, highly rated doctor, and he's like, allergies to the air we breathe. And, you know, this is going to sound like a crazy story, and it did to me when I was in that office, right?
Uh-huh.
He's like, why would you be allergic to the air you breathe? And I said, well, you know, seasonal allergies, you know, the pollen, the grass in the air. And he's like, allergic to grass. He's like, we're not allergic to grass and pollen. You know, maybe you're allergic to the chemicals from the cars, right? And I left that appointment thinking, hey, this guy's crazy. Uh-huh. What do you mean? He's never heard of allergies. Okay.
Oh, wow.
They had food allergies there either. And then after 5 years of living there, I realized we're the ones who are crazy to think allergies are normal. I mean, think about it. Wild animals, are they allergic to the grass that they crawl on? Are they allergic to the air they breathe? Are they allergic to the food that they need to survive? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, this epidemic of allergies to the things we need to survive, the air, food, you know, these type of things. So, yes, the food system is it's not what it used to be like, but the same. Food allergies, there's a lot of information about how food allergies, the food proteins in vaccines, are actually linked to food allergies. There's a whole load of studies on that, dozens of studies on vaccines causing food allergies, including anaphylactic food allergies to dairy, eggs, soy, because soybean oil is inside vaccines, nuts, meat, there's meat allergies now, as well as yeast, which often the result is gluten allergy, but really it's not the gluten that most people are allergic to, it's yeast, because that's a derivative, there are yeast proteins in the vaccines. And when you inject these toxins and these proteins, so your body goes into basically a huge antibody response, because we don't normally have anything injected, especially toxic materials like the synthetic chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So your body goes into a very autoimmune reactivity. And then because of that, we become allergic to whatever is in that needle. And not everybody, right? Everybody is genetically different. Some people are genetically stronger than others. But those that are susceptible are going to come down with some kind of food allergy. And this actually happened to me when I was 25 and I had a Hep B vaccine, which was made by Merck. And I had it at my doctor physical that I had to have to work for Merck, which I thought was very ironic. but I developed pretty much within 2 weeks of that shot, I developed IBS, which is gut issues, gut syndrome, and then as well as food allergies to soy, dairy, and eggs, which I had, and yeast as well, because the yeast is in the hepatitis B vaccine. So I had to revamp my diet entirely, and I had, you know, massive cramping from the IBS and all of this. So there is a lot of science to back up the link between that, and, you know, but it's just really crazy. And when I was in Holland and I left that doctor appointment, I left thinking he was crazy. And then after living there for 5 years and starting to study vaccines after I had my son, I realized that Americans are a bit crazy. You know, it's not normal to have to ask what someone's allergic to before they come over for dinner, right? It's not normal to have to have EpiPens for anaphylactic food allergies in classrooms, right? I mean, we're setting our children up for health disaster as they get older and older and older. And, you know, it's a sign of an autoimmune issues. And those are linked, again, to vaccines. And one of the most important things about the work I do is getting people to understand that some of these things can be healed. Not all the damage can be healed, but some can. And, you know, through detox, basically, detox of the chemicals and the heavy metals, and there are a lot of different protocols out there, and also just minimizing toxins in your daily environment in so different, so many different ways. It's so easy to minimize, do, you know, maintenance detox and to really get rid of chemicals at least in your indoor environment at home, and to avoid them as much as you can. And that is what we need to do, because again, we have skyrocketing rates of cancer, and cancer is a disease of overtoxicity, and some of the, you know, autoimmune issues as well are diseases of overtoxicity. And we're seeing now in, let's say, I think it's women over 40, it's something like 1 in 8 now have an autoimmune issue, lupus, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, gut issues like Crohn's, IBD, irritable bowel syndrome, food allergies, skin issues like eczema. All of these are autoimmune issues, and some even worse, colitis, all of these things. So, but there are ways to help minimize the effects that these issues have on your life through detox and, you know, healthy eating, of course, but also detoxing your life and your body. So, you know, that's giving people this hope that there is something that they can do. And, you know, I have numerous stories of people who have been able to wean themselves off most of their meds, because there are serious side effects as well to a lot of these pain meds. I mean, we've heard a lot about the opiates crisis, and inflammation the mark of autoimmune issues, right? So that inflammation can also cause things like back pain and pain in different ways, chronic fatigue, pain in the gut. So, you know, we've heard a lot about the opiates, but there are other, basically every class of drugs that the doctor will give you, there are studies showing that there are serious side effects, and often side effects that require another drug and then another drug.
Right.
And then before
right.
you know it, like the seniors that you mentioned, before you know it, everybody's checked out, everybody's really disconnected from their body, and the drugs aren't healing anything. They're only disconnecting your body's response to the system. So you still have those health issues. Your body just doesn't feel it as much. So it's kind of like a Band-Aid over a cut, but that cut is never going to heal with pharmaceutical drugs. You just put a Band-Aid over it so you don't see it. But what we need to be, you know, gearing towards people towards is actually healing these issues. And, you know, it can be done. So, you know, some of my most important work is helping other people understand this. So we can lower the rates of, you know, these autoimmune issues, neurological issues, and cancer. And, of course, that would definitely include not rolling up your sleeves for those vaccines, because that, again, is giving your body a huge toxic load right at once, bypassing your whole detox pathway. So, you know, it's important that, you know, there is help out there is healing, and there are solutions, but we have to step outside of this medical pharmaceutical industry which, again, like I said in the beginning, only profits off you being sick, right? It's a cycle of sickness, and
yes.
they want to keep that as long as they can. And, in fact, I mean, some stories are coming out now with doctors that are diagnosing people with cancer just for the money, because every, you know, when they really don't actually
wow.
even have cancer. I mean,
oh
so
my
because
God.
Every chemotherapy patient is worth, you know,
yes.
an average of $1 million.
That
and
is sad.
So we need, you know, my goal, my bigger mission in life is really to help create a healthier world. And that's not really going to happen inside a medical pharmaceutical industry that profits off you being sick, period. But there
and
is hope and there is healing outside of that. So, yeah, sorry.
Most doctors, I was going to say, most doctors today are not really into giving the not the client, but the patient, the information, I think. Oftentimes they just tell you you're due for your vaccines and people don't really have the time to read about it, or oftentimes people don't even think to ask what are the side effects. They are given the vaccines. That's the way it always was. We trusted our doctors. We pulled, like you said, the sleeve back. We got injected. You got the papers to go home. Half the people just threw the papers on the table, didn't even look at them until maybe you got a little bit of a fever or the child wasn't feeling right, and then you look at it. But unless you had some big issue, we didn't question it. But like you said, now, today, if you're a parent and your child goes to school or dance or sports, no matter where you go, you are seeing children that are sick from very early on, very little children, all the way up to high school and even college. And then you see the elderly. The health care in the United States is really become what I think it's a crock, as Brandy was talking about, all of the toxins that we live with in the United States that are pumped into cosmetics, into the nail polish, like she mentioned. Also, hair tints is one of them. There's so many cancers, so many different diseases. And unless we take a proactive approach to our health, we are never going to find, that happy medium, because some people, I do think some people do need to have some medications, but not everything that is given out there is good. I'm not saying that if your elderly parent or your kid is sick, I'm not saying we're not against doctors. Go ahead and check out with your doctor, but make sure that you're checking out. When they tell you that you need a procedure or you need something done, it's better to always get a second opinion. There's times they tell you you have things wrong with you and you don't. They take body parts out that you didn't have. There was absolutely nothing wrong. So there's all of these issues that only a thinking mind, when you go into the doctor, be proactive. A lot of people are afraid, Brandy, to ask the doctors because they think the doctors went through school, they have the degree, and some doctors are actually a little, you know, they make their patients a little nervous, so they're not going to ask. So what do you suggest for an elderly person that maybe doesn't have support, and they're at the systems, because, you know, when they take them and the system has a good hold of them, I've been to the doctor with some of them helping and volunteering, and I see, and it's really sad what they do, how they keep them coming back. How do they defend themselves once they're in that system?
Well, you know, I think the most important is to be informed, and there is so much information on the internet these days of people that have gone through all of these different issues that doctors may label your symptoms as. And, you know, there's so much help that can be done and with vitamin supplements, making sure we get proper nutrition, these types of things that doctors are not trained on. They are basically trained in medical school they know where all the body parts are, they know all the systems, and then they're trained to label different symptoms as a certain disease, right? It's like kind of like guesswork, you know, detective work. Okay,
yes.
We'll label this, right? And that's why you need second opinions and third opinions on everything, because some doctor will call it this, and another doctor will call it this, and another doctor will call it this. And inflammation, which is the cause of most disease and illnesses. But there's so much help out there. And, and then the doctor is just trained to prescribe what drug. Pharmacology and the writing of prescriptions and what drug goes for what symptoms, what drug goes for what disease is a huge part of the curriculum, because most of their curriculum is now written by the pharmaceutical industry. So I think that there were a lot of great doctors back in the day. But now, you know, most of those are retired. And we're getting, you know, the doctors in the system are very much a part of the system. Basically, like, well, as we say, burn, cut, drug, test. You know, this is all they're taught. And this is all they know how to do. And, of course, they want to help the patient and they want to get their bills paid as well when you walk in the room. So they're going to give you basically probably a prescription for everything. So the best way is just that we can inform ourselves. And there are tons of studies, tons of well-sourced information on different healing protocols that are more natural, that address probably the real cause of the issue and the symptom rather than just the Band-Aid on the cut, right? Again, I'm going to go back to the analogy of we need to heal the cut. And there's tons of things we can do with nutrition and food and different supplements because our food doesn't have the same nutrition as it did, you know, 40, 50 years ago before it became so industrialized. And then also, you know, lowering different, you know, toxins in our body, detox protocols and in our environment and things like this. There's so much people can do if they just take the time to inform themselves. And if they take the time to understand that doctors are not informed on this, they're not educated on this. They are only educated to write a prescription or write a test, a laboratory test, or write a prescription for a specialist, which will then, you know, either do another prescription, more testing, surgery, or, you know, these types of things. So really, that's all they know how to do, and they're not educated on the whole body and natural ways of doing things. And I always suggest people see naturopaths as well as medical doctors, because it never hurts to, you know, to have different opinions from those outside of the medical system, because there are multiple ways to deal with all types of health issues. And so it's important to someone who has more holistic approach. So basically naturopath, functional medicine doctor, or chiropractors. Chiropractors actually are a wealth of knowledge on, you know, they're not just for back pain. They do all kinds of different treatments with the central nervous system. And when we're talking about you know, inflammation in the gut and all other places, it all really, you know, all ties back into the central nervous system and the brain. So they also do a lot of treatments for those. So they're a wealth of knowledge as well. There's a lot that people can do to really protect their health, I would say, and really heal outside of the system that really wants to keep you sick. And they don't even sometimes understand what they're doing. That's just all that they know and all of it's been taught. So it's I always say knowledge is power, right? And the more knowledge, the better, because that's where we're going to have to go. And we're literally the sickest country in the world, and we spend more per capita on healthcare than any other country in the world. So it's not a lack of healthcare that's keeping us sick. It's more healthcare. And that's when we have to really see the bigger picture, kind of step out this cycle of sickness that I call it, and look for other options. And there's, you know, there's a lot of help out there. Chiropractors, homeopaths, naturopaths, nutritionists, all of this. There is help out there that can be found, and there's a wealth of information on the internet as well. And a lot of people that are speaking out against their stories, for instance, cancer, Chris Beat Cancer is an amazing website with so many stories and so many resources. And people just, you know, need to realize that their health is in their hands. And we need, you know, knowledge is power, and we need to educate ourselves on all of these things, because doctors aren't being educated on the whole bigger picture. They're educated only on one small area. So it's up to us to educate on the rest.
Yes, I am so excited, Brandy, that you have taken the industry, one of the most powerful industry, by the balls, really, and just shake them up a little bit and let them know, hey, we're mothers, we're sisters, we're daughters, and just because we're women doesn't mean that we're going to be, you know, step back and go home and cook. Yes, we can do that too. We can make delicious meals for our men, but you know what? We're going to take care of our families, and we're going to be fierce about it, because the health of our children and our parents depends on it. Our own health depends on it. How wonderful it is to be in our 50s, 60s, and 70s and not feel exhausted and not be tired and not have pain and not have headaches or forget who your grandchildren are or have your, you know, kindergartner with health issues or learning disabilities because you, as a parent, did not take the necessary steps to learn everything you needed to do or to learn before you expose your children to any kind of medication, and especially vaccines, as we see now is all the issues that it is causing for kids and adults together. So your website is one that is amazing. It's full of information. People can go there and they can write to you if they have questions. They can support you. Where can they find you again? Give us your website.
Yes, it's learntherisk.org. So LEARN, the THERISK.org. And also on Facebook, I have a personal profile, which I share a lot of information as well. If people are on Facebook, and Learn the Risk has a Facebook page as well. We're on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, basically everywhere. But
awesome.
The website is a great wealth of information. So.
So I'm going to have you send me all your links, and then we'll go ahead and link them to this show page so friends can find you everywhere. It's also going to appear on my page, on my web page, so they'll find you all over the place. And Brandy, is there anything else that you want to say before we part? I want to make sure that you have given us all the information that friends, you know, have everything they need to make a decision that's based on information and not just on fear. So,
right.
Is there anything else? Is there anything else that you want to leave us with? Food for thought for parents, for just anybody out there who's been thinking about this, and this is something that they're concerned about.
The thing I want people to really take away from this and understand is I want them to be empowered, because
yes,
being healthy is a right that we all have. Nobody else is going to look out for your health and the health of your children and your family members like you. So
true.
take that power, you know, knowledge is power. Do the research. Don't be afraid. The medical system and the pharmaceutical industry feed off your fear. Take your power back. You are the one who has the power. You're the one who's going to be dealing with the health issues if things go wrong later in life. They're not going to be the ones there for you. So really, make it a point to do your own research, become educated, become knowledgeable, because health is a right. And if you don't have your health, you have nothing. So make it a priority, do the research, and take your power back from this system that profits off keeping you sick.
Awesome. Oh, well, what can I say, you guys? There you have it, Brandy Vaughn, with all the information that you need to make your life better and healthier. Go follow her at learntherisk.org.
Yes.
Learntherisk.org. There you go. Thank you so much, Brandy, and we love you for being a part of our family.
For having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a great night, everybody, and go on, do your research, and follow her on that website, learntherisk.org. Have a great night, everybody.
space. Some regions are vast and empty, other areas we call closets. Fortunately, Kevin from the Container Store has answers.
Right.
Kevin, what gives you the power over space?
I'd say Elfa customizable closets. With free design and Elfa's adjustable shelving and drawers, I can create space in any size closet.
Kevin, master of space and closets.
Or just Kevin. Plus, right now, save 30% on Elfa and installation and earn up to $500 in credit through February 10th.
At the Container Store, where space comes from.
Wait, where is that music coming from?
Space. Some regions are vast and empty, other areas we call closets. Fortunately, Kevin from the Container Store has answers.
Right.
Kevin, what gives you the power over space?
I'd say Elfa customizable closets. With free design and Elfa's adjustable shelving and drawers, I can create space in any size closet.
Kevin, master of space and closets.
Or just Kevin. Plus, right now, save 30% on Elfa and installation and earn up to $500 in credit through February 10th.
At the Container Store, where space comes from.
Where is that music coming from?